I do this a few times a year where we have, we start off in Sunday school and then we do Sunday morning and Sunday night. So all day today, we're going to be looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we're going to see this as God is able to help. And that's going to be the first point of the Sunday morning message. We'll reiterate a couple of things, but we won't spend that much time. It's just the message had so much involved in it that it needed to have a couple of different messages and that to really get an emphasis. And I wanted to keep everything on the same day. Hope you don't mind. If you did read Matthew, that's great. Like I said, you'll be ready for next week. If you did not get a chance, this gives you a chance. Next week, we're going to look at the book of Matthew in our survey. Look how God presents Jesus Christ as King in the book of Matthew. So we're looking forward to that. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, you know, it's a wonderful story. As you know, in this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 is our theme verse for the year and talking about having a heart for God. And we're leading up to that, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I was just overwhelmed and impressed with what Asa had cried out to God when God had, when he had prayed this prayer. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord and his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help." And, you know, he's saying, look, it is nothing. He says, it's no thing. It's not hard at all for you to help. He says, and he's relying on God's power here. He's recognizing God's power. And he says, Lord, it's nothing for you. Nothing at all for you to help us. And you can continue to hear this prayer. He says, it's nothing for thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. He says, doesn't matter if we have millions or if we have just one. For you, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, because he's God. He's in control. He's all powerful. And what a wonderful thought here. Asa is here. He is a king. He's been king for about 10 years at this point in time. He is faced with his first major battle. And his first major battle, he goes to God. He relies on God. And he says, hey, it is nothing to thee. I don't know about you, but sometimes there are things that are easy for certain people and hard for other people. If you ask me to help fix your car, it wouldn't work. But if you go up to Mr. Chambers and ask him to help, and he was able to help, he says, oh, that was nothing. For someone that knows how to fix it, it is nothing. It's just a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. But for a person that doesn't know how to, that just can't do it themselves, it is something. And that's what Asa's saying to God. If you want to help us, if you're willing to help us, Lord, I know that you're able. And that's an amazing thought here. And you keep on going the verse, he says, for we rest on thee. I like that thought. It's the idea that they can rest in God's power. They relax in God's power. They trust in God's power. And keep on going. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. What Asa is doing is he is saying, look, God, I am putting you between me and the problem. I am going out in your name. I am resting in you. And here it is. I want you to help us. And he even uses those words up here. He says, help us. He says, with thee, help, whether with many or with them that have no power. And he says, help us. He says, I know that I can't do it on my own. He says, I just want you to help us. And here's the thought. And the message today is talking about the story of Asa. Asa was known for being a good king. In all three messages, we're going to look a little bit about him. And he came to the realization, and when God could help him was when he realized that he need help. When he realized he need help. And he says, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. Say, when in the world has man ever prevailed against God? Well, see, man over and over prevailed against God's people when they forsook God. And tonight, this morning, in this Sunday school class, let's help this understanding and let's praise the Lord a little bit in the idea that we know God is able to help. God is able to help. And we need to understand that. Let's look here and let's read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to read the majority of the chapter here. So Abijah slept with his fathers, in verse number 1, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead, and his days the land was quiet 10 years. So this is where I got the 10 years. He's been king for 10 years. It's been quiet. They have not had wars. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord of seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, For the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. We see here in verses 1 through 6, it gives a testimony of Asa during the early years of his ministry. He was a good king. He sought the Lord. He went to produce and help, and Lord helped him build up Judah. Verse number 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. We see here that Asa understands that the reason why he is prospering is because of God. He's giving God the glory. He understands God was the one that was able and willing to help him. Verse number 8, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. Sometimes we read those numbers and we just forget about how many people. That's a lot of people. 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. So we have 580,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. I'm not that good at math, but that's a million people. So he got 580,000 going up against a million, and these even had chariots. So you say, well, what's the big deal about a chariot? Well, chariots back then were very, very valuable in the use of war. And keep on going, and came into Mersha. Then Asa went out against them, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephtha and Mersa. And Asa, and we come to this verse number 11, where we looked at for the verse, the major verse for this morning. He understands the need. He understands that he is at great difficulty here. He's in distress. 1 million versus 580,000. That means pretty much two men for every man. And these guys got spears. These guys got shields. These guys, this other side's got chariots. They got bows. You know, 2 versus 1 is not very good odds. And here Asa recognizes this. But even he's saying if he only had a few or if he had millions, he still needed God's help. Let's look here. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. He's like, God, it doesn't matter how many we have. He says, whether we had more than them or we had even less than we have today, he says, it is nothing for thee, nothing with thee, nothing to help. And that's when he relies on God, and he says, help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians. Isn't that great? It doesn't say that he gave the 500,000+ extra power. He says that the Lord smote them. The Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Isn't that wonderful? It's a great story, and we see that they return, they have much spoil, and here's the thought. God is able to help you. And what we're looking at this morning, this lesson, I don't know what areas of your life that you have struggles in or what needs you have, but I want you to understand something this morning, that God is able to help you. No matter who you are, where you're at, what you're doing, or what's going on, God is able. You say, well, why isn't God helping me? Well, the Sunday school lesson is that God is able. And the Sunday morning lesson, we're going to look at those who God helps, and we're going to look at those that God does not help. But here this morning, I just want us to have this thought, and I hopefully will reign supreme in your mind, that we know that God is able. He is able to help us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. Lord, thank you for being able to come to a place like this. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, help us not to forget how good you are to us. Lord, your mercies are new every day, and Lord, we desperately need them. Lord, help us to live in your grace. Help us to live consciously in your presence. Help us even this morning to remember and recognize and rely and rest in your power. Help us to see and understand that you are able to help. And Lord, help us to be refreshed and renewed with this thought. Even though we face many struggles, even though we face many temptations, even though we have obstacles that are in front of us that seem insurmountable, Lord, help us to know that you are able to help. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things I see in this verse, in verse number 11, that I'd like to draw your attention. First thing I want you to see in verse number 11 is this phrase, and I mentioned it already because I like it. It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. What Asa does to begin with, he recognizes the power of God. And before we can ever begin to rely on the power of God, we need to recognize how great his power is. You go throughout the whole Bible and you see this over and over. There's verses. There was a multitude of verses we could have chose from. Look what it says in Job 42:2. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Now, think about that. Job come to this point in his life and Job had been put flat on his back, and Job had had so many things come to him. At the end of his life, God has worked in his heart, and he says, I've come to the realization, I know you can do everything. And he says, not only can you do everything, he says, that there is no thought that is withholding from you. If we recognize the power of God and we understand the power of God, it can change the way we live our lives. If we realize that God is all-powerful and we recognize it in our own life specifically, we won't be trying to fix the things ourselves. Instead, this is where faith enters into the picture, is when we recognize that God is powerful, is when we put him fighting for us, when we allow God to do the work for us. Look what it says in Psalms 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. It's a God that loves you. It's a God that knows you, God that cares more about you and your family than probably you even care for yourself and for your family, because he does what he pleases. So he can help. He is able to help. Look at some more verses that encourage you with this. It says, Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, we hear about that. We sing about that. But Asa recognizes this in his prayer. He has recognized this in his life. In the last 10 years, he's had peace. He's been able to build the cities. He's been able to do things for God's glory. But he's not saying, hey, look at me. He's saying, hey, look, God allowed this to happen. God has given us peace on every side. Let's use the time that God has given us his peace to further his kingdom, to further the nation of Israel. And we see here that he says, and Jesus himself says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, there's nothing that's impossible. Look what it says here in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Psalms 44:1 puts a great perspective on it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in them. Everything is God's. He's created us. He is the God of the universe. And he is able to do all things. Now, I'm going to try something new, and hopefully this will help you here. I want you to give me, if you're willing, now I'm not going to call on specific people, I want you to raise your hand, ideas and pictures of where God is an example of God's power. Now, the first one I think of is creation, because, man, creation, he created us. That's an example of God's power. And then, to give you a little bit more illustrations, you know, God's power, I love it when he controls nature. I don't know about you, but the fact that he can control nature, he can tell the winds and the rains to stop and start, the sun to stand still, and he parts the Red Sea. I mean, that's miraculous. It shows us that God is able. I mean, whether he's doing it right now in your life or not, that's not the question that we're looking for. That's not the answer we're viewing right this second. What we want to have is the permeating thing in your thought, is that God is able. Okay, man or woman, anybody have a couple thoughts of where God's power is shown through the Bible? Miss Mary Jo? Walking on water and calming the storm. That's great. You know, to be able to walk on the water, you try to do that. It ain't going to happen. Miss Sharon? The plagues in Egypt. Yeah, imagine all those frogs turning the blood to water. That's great stuff.
Baby Jesus, shielded
him from the canyon. That's great, yep. And also putting baby Jesus in Mary's womb. I mean, that's pretty special. Miss Shirley? The walls of Jericho falling down. Miss Betty? That's if God is able to do anything, to raise the dead. Somebody had their hand raised over here. The resurrection, you know, raise it. That's amazing. God is able.
God appeared to Paul, so then he became an apostle.
That's great. Yep. So, Mr. Van? The flood, that's amazing. He can open up the winds when it had never rained before, and he can cause the water. Miss Jill? Be able to protect them. I mean, that's amazing, God's power. And that, for them to be able to rest in God's power, to be able to go through that. Miss Sharon? Sure. Little to big. I mean, I agree. That's it. It's from little things to big things. You can even pay your taxes for us. Mr. Bobby? Daniel and Lionson. He controlled the lions, the most fierce things, what man would say is the worst thing. Anybody else? A couple more. Jonah? Miss Carol? It's amazing. He doesn't have to say he's sorry, does he? He keeps his promises. One more. Anybody? Mr. Van? Change the language, isn't that great? You know what that shows you here is that, you know, sometimes people say, well, I just can't change. You know what? God can change you. You know, you say, you know what? God can do whatever he wants. He says, I just can't get over this. You know what? With God's help, he can, you know, he can give you a love for green beans if you don't like green beans. I know everybody likes green beans. We'll go for Brussels sprouts. You say, oh, I hate Brussels sprouts. And he says, well, you know what? God can give you a love for Brussels sprouts. He can do anything he wants to do. So I want to encourage you this morning. You know, God is able. And that's the thought here. But you have to recognize it. When we remember the things of God, and when we go through and we hear the things, and we talk about them ourselves, and remind ourselves, and we speak to ourselves, and speak to the Lord about how his greatness is. Boy, when we come across that bill we don't know how to pay, or when we talk about that person who's sick and we're worried, and you remember, man, he raised that guy from the dead. He healed that guy's blindness. He healed that person's lame man. You know what? My cold isn't seem like it's so insurmountable anymore when I'm depending on God. Now remember, he does what he pleases. Does that mean he's always going to answer our prayers the exact way that we think he should? But he is doing what he pleases. He is able. That's the point, is we need to recognize it. Second thing I want you to see is, not only is it recognizing, it's relying on the God's power. Relying on God's power. I like it when it says, Asa cried unto the Lord, his God. And later it says, help us. You know, he cried out to God. We see Asa praying. Asa had 580,000. Men, mighty men of valor. But what does he do? He doesn't try to figure out the greatest tactical moves. He doesn't say, hey, let's do this and rely on his own power. He cries out to God. He prays. You know, when we recognize God's power, that's when we'll begin to rely on it. And you think about the great things, you know, raising somebody up from the dead versus, you know, just that tax money that was in the fishes. It's amazing what God can do. And Christian, if you learn how to rely on God, it means that we recognize his power and then we cry out to him because we know he has the power. Samuel here said, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Now the children of Israel had gone away whoring after idols. And this is in 1 Samuel, and they had called and asked at this point in time, they are falling down to the Philistines. This was after the problems with Eli. This was after the ark had been taken away. And they go to Samuel. They see their need, and they ask him to cry out to God. And he says, save us out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines were getting ready to come and pretty much just smash them away, to clear them out, to get rid of them, wipe them off the face of the earth. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. He cried unto God. And when was the last time you cried out for anything for God? Now, here's the difference here. Now, some of us see our needs and we cry about our needs. We cry about our situations. We cry about our problems. But in recognizing God's power and relying on God's power and then crying out to God is something completely different. We do like to complain. I do. My back recently, it feels better. Thank you for those who are praying. My wife probably heard me whine a little bit about my back because it hurt. But you know what? When I recognize God's power and see the need and cry out to God, it's something completely different. It's because we recognize he is able. He is doing what he wants. And then when we rely on his power and say, God, I know you are able. I know you are doing what you want. God, please help me with that thought process. And we cry out to God then. That's when I think God is able to work in our hearts and lives. It's because we're accepting it from Him. And that's when we have faith. Relying on God as power is something that we must learn about. Now here, I don't want to get too much in this morning's message, but take your Bibles and look at 2 Chronicles 15, or you can look up there on the board. It said, now for a long season Israel have been without a true God, and without teaching priests, and without law. But when they had in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, when we sought Him, He was found of them. I don't know about you, but that is great. That is encouraging. He's saying, hey, look, when you learn to rely on God, God is going to be right there with you. If you go to, if you turn in 15 and you look at verse number 2, it says, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. I don't know about you, but I think that's neat. He says, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. Yeah, he. If you rely on Him, He's going to be right there for you. And I think about the nation of Israel. How many times they have put themselves in a mix and betwixt problems. You think about the story of Judges. You know, when they began to rely on God's strength, you know what it says? God was right there with them. He says, when they turned back, they sought, God was found. And you see in the book of Judges, I mean, they did what was right in their own eyes, and they went and they lived for themselves. God sent judgment. When they finally realized their need, when they finally said, God, we realize and recognize your strength. We rely on your strength. We need your help to save us. God, boom, there it helped and saved them. They were crying out in the Egyptian fields. And what happens? God hears their cries and God answers their prayer. They cry out when the Egyptians come and they are there and they're marching there and they're at the Red Sea and they cry out to God and they realize and recognize they cannot do it on their own. They recognize and need God's help and they rely on Him and they cry out to Him. What happens? Boom, God puts that fire there at night. Can't get to them. That God is able to help them, and then God parts the Red Sea. And you see that happening in the book of Judges over and over. When they saw and they realized and when they understood. When they went out and they sought after God, He was there for them. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's a shame that we had to put ourselves sometimes in such horrible situations before we begin to recognize the power of God. See, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be like hearing the story of Asa. You know, those first 10 years were peaceful. They still gave God all the credit. He says, God's the one allowing this to happen. When his first major battle came, he relied on God. And he said, okay, God, I need you. He says, whether we didn't have but five of us or we had 10 million of us, it's nothing with thee to help us. It's nothing with thee. And it's recognizing, but also it's relying. And he said, Pastor, what do you mean relying on God? I think I like to picture it this way. Because we got our problems and we got ourselves is when we put God in the middle of our problems. We put God in between us and our problem. You know, He has this great army out here and we have ourselves. We can't do anything. And we say, okay, Lord, here it is. Lord, I'm going out in your name. Lord, don't let man prevail over you. He says, I'm putting you right there. I don't know what problems you have in your life today, but put God right there in between them. Let God fight for you. Let God do the work for you. Rely on His strength and your power. Third thing, and I like this, and I know we're running out of time, is rest in God's power. If you go in that phrase that you see in 14:11, it says, for we rest on thee in thy name as we go this multitude, O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. You know, I don't know about you, but this is what I want to be able to learn how to do. I read through the Bible and I see people tell the amazing stories how they were resting in God in some of the most trying times in life. You think about Peter. The night before he's supposed to be executed, what was he doing? He was praying. They had to go, the angel had to wake him up. You know, if it was me or you, we'd be walking, we'd be pacing, we'd be, you know, he's praying. About Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, guess what? We're not going to bow down to your idol. What were they doing? They were resting in God's ability. They were resting in God's power. How can, you know, men and women sit there and say, like Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He wasn't sitting in a resort somewhere. He was sitting in a prison. What was he doing? He was resting in God's power. What about David before Goliath? He rested in God's power and he allowed God to do great things. We'll let those that have a special ministry step out, and we'll finish up here. See, not only is it recognizing God's power and relying on God's power, here's the key is when we can learn to rest in his power. Think about this verse. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The peace of God is something that eludes so many people today. And the Bible is saying if we will keep our mind on him and we will learn to trust in him. And I think trusting and resting is something similar as finding the trust and resting and relaxing in the power of God. Saying, God, I've done everything I can. I know I cannot do it on my own. God, this is you. Help me. I'm going to go out and go in your name, but it's not going to be by my power, not going to be by my strength. And that's what he's saying. He's in perfect peace. Asa here at this moment in time, he's in perfect peace. He says, it would be nothing for you. It would even be like just waving your hand to help us. He says, I know how powerful you are. And we recognize that. We rely on that. And then we rest in it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, I love this verse. I had a girl who was, I wouldn't call her a little girl. She was probably 5 or 6 years younger than I was, and I was probably 19 or 20 years old. I even at different times had taught her in junior church, and she was reading her Bible. I asked her what she was reading, and she says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him was her favorite verse in the Bible. And she says, here's the thing. She says, I'm not waiting on God to do something. I'm not telling God to do something. I'm resting in the Lord. I'm waiting patiently for him. I'm waiting for him to do whatever he wants. I'm not going to God and saying, God, I want you to give me this, and now I'm waiting on you. Instead, she says, I'm just resting in the Lord, resting in his strength, and just waiting for him to do whatever he wants to do. And I thought that, you know, if that's where we can learn to relax, rest and relax in God's power and say, God, you're the one in charge. I recognize you can do it. I'm relying on the fact that you will do your way and your best and using your strength, but now I'm resting in it. Lord, I trust in you. And think about what a couple other verses says. It comes to the point, is where else are you going to turn? Think about John, when Peter said to Jesus, he says, who else are we going to go to? He said, you're the one that had the words of eternal life. I know that's not the perfect quote, but it's, to whom shall we go? To whom else will we go? You know, Jesus, after all the multitudes left, he turns to the disciples and says, are you going to leave too? And he's like, where am I supposed to go? And who are you going to trust in is the question. You know, God is the one that is able. God is the one that has the power. God is the one that is able to help you. Who are you going to turn to? And the Bible says here, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Are you going to trust in man? I mean, they're going to fail you. Are you going to put your trust in the government? It's going to fail you. And then he says, next thing is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Are you going to trust in yourself? Be honest with you, many of us have made enough of a mess and realized that we can't trust ourselves. We don't have the power and strength that God has. God has the power. God has the strength. Who are you going to turn to if you're not going to turn to God? You going to turn to somebody else? They're going to fail you. They're going to mess up. They might do their best, but they're human. They can't part the Red Sea. Who are you going to turn to yourself? Most of us would know and have better to know is that we ourselves, we can't do it. We make a mess of a lot of times the things that we should be able to take care of. That's why we need to rely on him. So this morning, here's the thought. God is able. Are you willing to recognize it? Are you willing to rely in it and rest in it? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear only-